It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build Forward Top Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. Another disappointing performance by the Knicks. You got to tip your cap spot a little bit to the Indiana Pacers because that team was flying. Tyrese Halliburton had the night of all nights with his triple-double and no turnovers. And that team just played their asses off. But the Knicks played their worst full game of the series. Turnovers, sloppy play, foul trouble again early on for Karl-Anthony Towns. Just not being able to convert under the basket for OG Anunoby. Just so many annoying things going on. Jalen Brunson's bad fourth quarter. Now they're down 3-1 with a chance to extend their season tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden. But I got to be honest with you, with the way the Pacers have played and the way that the Knicks played last night, I'm now making plans. I am making plans for no NBA Finals for the New York Knicks. I'm sorry. That's the way I feel. I looked at my calendar. I got stuff that I was going to cancel if the Knicks were in the finals. It's a go this morning, Boomer, because that sucked last night. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. A little tired this morning, as most Knicks fans probably are that are listening to us. But, I'm not going to go that far. It's not over until they win 4 games, and it's not done yet. But I will say, last night's performance, number one by Halliburton, was an amazing performance. May have been the greatest single performance in playoff history, given the fact they didn't have any turnovers to go along with a triple-double. The other thing that was really, really, really frustrating is just how many easy buckets that Pacers got, whether it was on inbounds plays, whether a lack of rotation on Nick defensive strategy, not getting to where they needed to get to, whether it was just lazy, I mean, just absolute flat-out lazy defense down the center of the lane. I mean, there was nobody got touched going down the middle lane. I'll tell you who did get touched. Karl-Anthony Towns got touched. They were hanging all over him.
Yeah.
Another thing with him, the stupid fouls, enough already. Enough of grabbing the wrist of somebody else. Enough of tying up somebody's arm that's underneath your armpit and, you know, everybody in the world can see it. I mean, just idiotic things like that just drive you crazy. And then, of course, you have the two wings. And the two wings had two of their worst games. OG Anunoby and, of course, Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges just got completely torched by Halliburton. There was no energy from OG. And how many times was OG under the basket?
Yeah.
Where he wouldn't go up with the basketball?
Well, that was one of the first things that I said. I mean, I don't know what was going on. And he's been one of my favorite Knicks. I love the guy. I said that he was the second best player on the team. And all of these things. This is the second game in the playoffs where he looked like he lost his mind. He completely lost the ability to play basketball.
Did Reggie Miller say at the end of the game, this is like one of OG's best games?
He could not have said that.
He said something along those lines.
I missed that. He could not have said
I
that.
I sat he up stunk. And I said, did he really actually just say he what I think stunk. He said?
Yeah.
I mean, Pascal Siakam killed him. Mm-hmm. So your two wing players, your two best defensive players, basically got torched last night. Your point guard, just did not have one of it. He started out great. He started out great offensively. Defensively, he's horrendous. And the turnovers were just killers. Josh Hart took full ownership of it after the game. And I always appreciate when athletes are able to stand up and let you know what they think that they did wrong. Mikal Bridges did the same thing. So both Hart and Mikal Bridges after the game last night said that this game was on them individually. They didn't think that they put up their best performances, and I concur. I mean, Josh Hart was completely out of control last night, as was at times Brunson was completely out of control last night, and they were playing the Pacers' pace.
Yeah, I mean, they controlled that game. I mean, the offense was okay for the Knicks. They just couldn't keep up with the Pacers. But really what it comes down to, the Knicks have more talented players. The Pacers just know who they are better, and they're a better team that plays better together. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, the Pacers have an identity. You know exactly who they're going to be every single night. And by the way, we're hoping that Nesmith doesn't play or is hampered. He comes out looking like the healthiest guy in the entire freaking series. He's all over Jalen Brunson. I mean, he couldn't even get a
a step on the guy, and he's hitting threes early on. I'm like, this is just, I mean, I really thought that the Knicks were going to get an advantage last night. He ended up being setting the tone in the beginning of the game. But it just feels like the Pacers know who they are, and they know what to do, and they're confident in who they are. And the Knicks are still, they just don't have that consistent identity. You know, whether it's a Brunson night or a Towns night, or it just, I don't know what to expect anymore from these guys. Is Mikal Bridges going to be able to hit those mid-range jumpers? I know he's not going to be able to hit a three, and why they were feeding him the ball in the fourth quarter more than the other guys, God knows, with the way we watched him shoot threes the entire freaking year.
Pretty much everybody was bricking threes.
It's horrible. Just horrible.
And there were three series in a row there towards the end where Mikal Bridges missed three in a row. And, you know, the Pacers came down the other end and got points, and you know that's the microcosm of the game right there.
The transition defense is horrible, and there were the turnovers. As I think Tibbs used the best word last night after the game, where he says, "You know, our turnovers fueled their offense," which is true. They fueled it.
How about Deuce McBride going down the lane? Looks like he's got a wide open layup.
Yeah,
and he goes to throw it to the corner and throws it away.
Yeah, I mean
that was kind of indicative of the way the game was played. The series is not over. I'm not giving up. I mean, as a Knicks fan, it's always been tough. It's always been hard. There have always been those moments where you think, God, man, they did it to me again. But I've stood here and I've watched where they have actually exceeded every one of my expectations. And here they are. They're in the Final Four. They're in the Final Four.
No,
let's not forget that.
Right. No, all that's great. I'm not killing this group. I'm not killing Tibbs. I'm thrilled where they got. I really am. I mean, the excitement that they have brought us to get to the first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years, I'm not knocking any of that stuff. No way. No how. I love these guys. Love Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, OG, all of them, even though they played miserable last night. But I just... The Pacers are in a better situation with where their team is right now to go and compete for a championship than the Knicks are. And it's clear. And they've made that clear throughout the series. And that's really what it comes down to, is the Knicks are still trying to figure out exactly who they are. The Pacers know exactly who they are. And they've been sticking it to the Knicks for a majority of the series. And I understand that the Knicks blew game one and the Pacers blew game three. And you want to say that those even out. Well, I mean, the Knicks feel like they've been in down the entire frickin' series. I mean, that's what it's felt like, to be honest with you. After you came, they came back. The Pacers came back in the fourth quarter. I feel like the Knicks never have a lead.
Yeah, we had the fourth quarter of game one.
I mean, my God, right, of game one. I just, and then Halliburton he's been okay up until last night. Last night he was great. He was flat out elite last night with his dad in the building. It just felt like last night, I don't want to make it sound like a totally defeatist. It's just exactly the way I feel. It just felt like last night that the Pacers earned their ticket to the finals. Like, it's going to happen at some point. They played their ass off. Their stars showed up. Their coach is just, I mean, the way that they are suffocating Jalen Brunson trying to get the ball up the court, and then how, like, shot he looked in the fourth quarter, just it felt like the Knicks were on their last breath last night.
Well, we talked about that before the series started.
Yeah.
About, you know, the lengths that the Pacers will go to make Jalen Brunson work really, really hard to bring the ball up.
Yeah.
And when that happens, then he becomes a complete liability on defense. And he's not involved. He's not going to fight over a pick. He's always going to go under a pick. There's always going to be somebody that's going to be wide open for a three-point shot. The rotation was terrible last night on defense. I mean, I was shocked at just some of the inbounds plays, how guys go right down the middle of the lane and there's nobody standing there. It's either, that to me is a lack of coaching. That's either a lack of awareness by the players or a lack of preparedness by the coach. I mean, like, okay, I mean, I'm sure you guys talk about this, but how many times is a guy going to come down the lane and nobody be there? And Carl Anthony Towns is going to be standing up at the top of the key guarding, you know, his guy, Turner. And then all of a sudden they're going to run a play and nobody is going to be backed by the basket.
Yeah, so look, I was thinking about this last night because, you know, Reggie Miller and everybody's talking about it, about, you know, this is, and even this morning, you know, played into the Pacers' hands. That's like the way they like to play basketball. That's their identity. So I'm thinking, you know, I've heard this through the entire frickin' playoffs. Like the Pistons, they play, it's going to be rough and tumble, and they're going to be physical with you, and that's the way that they play. The Boston Celtics are going to be shooting threes all over the place. That's how they won the championship the year before. The Indiana Pacers are going to be up and down. They're going to be faster. They're going to be in transition. playing into the Knicks' hands is what? What are they? Like, when people say, oh, you play into the Knicks' hands, or the game...
Jalen Brunson is
right.
what they are.
Right, but that's not good enough. Like,
right.
you can't just be one freaking guy. Every other the team that the Knicks have played, it's like, this is the way the team plays. If someone asked me, like, how do the Knicks play? How do the Knicks win? There's no consistent answer.
Well, you would say that Jalen Brunson would have the
ball. It's got to be Superman. Well, it's not supposed to be like
that. Well, Jalen Brunson will have the ball about 80% of the time.
It's not supposed to be like that.
If not more than that.
Right. But that's not good. You know what I'm saying?
He dribbles the ball most of the time. I would say probably 75% of the time he dribbles the ball up. He goes to the top left. He runs a screen across the middle. He either dishes it to somebody off the wing, or they try to play a little bit of give and go, or maybe alley-oop with Mitchell Robinson.
But that's not really an identity.
I understand that, but I'm just telling you that's what they are.
That's an issue, right. But that's what they are.
And they're supposed to be a defensive team.
Right, and they're horrendous defensively. Horrendous. I mean, when OG and Mikal Bridges play like that defensively, they are horrendous defensively because no one else can do anything. And Josh Hart was miserable, too.
Well, Josh Hart's a defender. He's a rebounder, and every now and then he'll make a shot. But and he should hit most of his free throws. They hit most of their free throws last night again. But I would say that, you know, to me it was Mikal Bridges and OG that just got sliced and diced on defense and really didn't bring the explosion back on the offensive side to counteract what Siakam and what Haliburton were doing.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think that is absolutely right. And they haven't even played well at home, so it's not even like, man, you know, you get back to the Garden for game five and you feel like they're going to win that game. If somehow you can get another one game six, you're back to the Garden. They haven't played well at home. So why would you even have any confidence in them playing well at home?
I'll tell you what, if this turns out to be like a game seven was last year, that's going to be really disappointing. Game seven against the Pacers last year was like, you know, Jalen Brunson got hurt. OG, nobody got, you know, was out. Julius Randle was out. Everybody, like, they just kept dropping like flies.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I want to see, and this is all I want to see in game five, okay? I want to see a team that is going to defend its home court and show the fans exactly what the fans want to see, and that is a hard-nosed, in-your-face defensive basketball team that is not going to take any crap from anybody and is going to go after players, especially if they come down the lane. I want to see the defensive prowess that they should be known for under this coach. And I want to see a level of pride that the fans deserve to see in game five in their building. I do not want to see them get lit up by Tyrese Haliburton doing the choke sign.
Yeah.
And everything else. I'll turn it off at halftime if that's the case.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I would love to see that. I just wonder, you know, how capable are they of that right now? I mean, especially now, you want to tell me that, you know, Josh Hart, OG, and Mikal Bridges come back and are aces again defensively, then yeah. But, I mean, that's asking a lot at this point because those guys got worked.
That's what they're supposed to do. But
they got worked last night by the Pacers.
Well, you got worked. You got embarrassed. You took ownership of it. For the most part, the guys did that. And that's why I think that I want to see their, if it's going to be their final home game, if it is to be their final home game, it better be one where it is like balls to the wall. I mean, literally balls to the wall. I mean, it's got to be knock down, drag out. This is our building. You are not winning here.
Yeah, and I don't know when it switched in the NBA and who won championships and what teams were the ones that got there, but you know, of course, you still need star players. I'm not saying that. But it used to be like the biggest collection of talent would always seem to win when those were big threes everywhere, was the Celtics or the Heat or the Warriors, and it would seem to win. And in the last number of years, it's the teams that are the deepest with the best role players that have a clear leader. And the Knicks are not deep. They do have a clear leader. And also ones that play defense have an identity like the Pacers. But the way that the Pacers are built is exactly what you want in today's NBA for trying to win a championship. I mean, they got so many contributors and a great coach.
Well, that's the thing. They did give up 121 points.
Well, yeah, okay.
I mean, but, you know, at the end of the day,
they scored 130.
They're not a great defensive team at all. But they're a deep team. That's the thing. They play 10 guys.
I mean, they're just as good as the Knicks as defense, if not better, right?
And last night was Mathurin.
Yeah, he finally showed up.
Yeah. And, you know, this is their bench shows up, a guy here or a guy there. You know, Ben Shepherd will hit a shot. T.J. McConnell's a pain in the ass. I mean, and then all of a sudden Mathurin shows up last night. I mean, so, yeah, they are a deep basketball team. He plays those guys, and they want to play fast, and they want to hoist up a lot of shots. And that, you know, it's like the Mike D'Antoni Knicks used to be.
Well, yeah, and then previously that, the Suns as well, when he was doing that 7 seconds or less deal and everything else. So, yeah, I mean, it was discouraging, and I have little faith at this point, but of course, if they win game five and they win in convincing fashion, then I'll be right back there with the peaks and valleys. I was really, really frustrated with the Knicks and very impressed with the Pacers last night. And I mean, Halliburton's game, like, you couldn't have been better than he was last night.
I know.
In a game to put his team up 3-1 after coming off a performance, like, just like you said, all those guys took accountability last night on the Knicks. Was the exact thing that Halliburton said after game three. Like, he said, I got to be better. That was not good enough.
I got to be more aggressive. That. Yeah, he'd say he had to be more aggressive. And Reggie Miller kept saying that last night. But look at how effing wide open he is. Yeah. Look at these shots.
I know. It's embarrassing.
I mean, there's nobody within 5 feet of him.
I mean, that's
either a total flat-out disconnect or a lack of effort. It's one of the two. I mean, I don't want to say they're not prepared. I mean, they've been playing them, you know, now for the last week.
I also think they're just getting like they're. I mean, and this is not. I'm not having the same Tibbs conversation about minutes, but I honestly think when you're playing a team that's this deep that runs like that, when the Knicks are, you know, up and down and up and down, they look exhausted. I mean, for God's sakes, that team in the fourth quarter, like, they looked exhausted last night. And it's not just a Tibbs minutes conversation. It's just the way the Pacers, like, just beat them down with the way that they play.
I was just shocked at the amount of open shots.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the second half, they started missing some shots. You know, when you think about it, like, their first half, the first quarter especially, they were just on fire.
Yeah.
And then the second half, they started missing some shots, but the amount of wide open shots was alarming last night, and the amount of like gimmies around the bucket.
Too easy.
Inbound plays where there's nobody stopping somebody to go, like, they're all lined up at the foul line, and then they do their movement and boom, a guy right down the lane is wide open.
Yeah, I mean, when you score 121 points in a playoff game and you still lose by 9, you know that the defense stinks.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network after a game four loss by the Knicks down 3-1. Game five of the Garden on Thursday. Jerry is here to let us know all about it. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. This is how things started last night in Indiana as they were trying to get the crowd into a frenzy. So who do they go to? Pat McAfee.
Indianapolis, Indiana. We got some big wigs from the big city in the building. Spike Lee is here. Back to New York with their ears ringing. Let's turn this off.
There you go, a little wrestling feel.
Yeah, which he's really, really good at, as we know. Do you think, because most people really like Pat McAfee and he's got all these celebrities on his show, do you think you went up to those guys beforehand? Like, listen, I'm going to call you sons of bitches. Just understand I'm doing this for my own brand. I like you guys.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Like, you know, that could piss somebody off.
Sure. Yeah, but you know what, though? That, I mean, it's sports.
It's wrestling.
Right? You're competitive thing, yeah. And you got fans of each team. I mean, I didn't have a problem with any of it. I thought it was actually quite funny.
Well, yeah. What wasn't funny, if you're a Knick fan, was the way this game went.
Halliburton got it in. Top in for three.
Execution there on the baseline. They forget about him, and he knocks down the three ball.
They forgot about him.
That's one of those plays right there. That's exactly what that is indicative of the way the game was played last night.
It's amazing, too. There's a clip, which I'll have for next hour. I recorded it, where you got Tibbs mic'd up in the huddle, and he's telling the guys, you got to cover them. You got to run at them. Sprint, 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 stop jogging. And they're just, like, staring at him. It's like everything you want them to do, he's telling them to do, and they ain't doing it. So they wound up losing 130 to 121. Tyrese Halliburton, the huge night, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 16 assists, 4 steals, no turnovers. Pretty impressive. He says on TNT, that's a pretty good bounce back.
Just trying to be aggressive, trying to respond. I felt like I let the team down in game 3, so it's important for me to come out here and just make plays. And, you know, guys put me in position to make plays and trying to play my game. And, man, it's a big win for us. And
then his voice
He was missing some shots in the second half now.
Sure.
It wasn't like he was, like, perfect.
Not the shooting,
no. No. The numbers were good, obviously. Great, in fact, because he didn't have any turnovers.
Correct.
Like, I don't know what Mikal Bridges was doing.
Yeah, they were a miserable night. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Miserable defensive and offensive performance from him. And, yeah, not fun to watch.
We know about his change of voice. So this was at the podium, then later at the table, getting the win with his dad back in attendance.
With him being in the building, of course, guy. I wanted to play well. But, I mean, I know we're saying free Pops and Pops is free, but he was not in jail. He happened to be in a very beautiful home, sitting very pretty watching NBA basketball.
Yeah, so he was fine. Same guy.
Just trying to be aggressive, trying to respond.
With him being in the building.
It is crazy. It really is. On the Knicks side of things, too many turnovers. As we know, you guys have detailed it. Here was Jalen Brunson.
I mean, a lot of them are stuff that we can control. As a team, we just need to tighten the screws when it comes to that. You know, just being aggressive. If there are aggressive turnovers, that'd be different. But passive turnovers is not us.
And then here's Mikal Bridges. This is about as honest as you can get. He just admits they weren't as good as Indiana was on this night.
I feel like I just play hard enough. No, I didn't play my best game, and I feel like on both ends, just let my team down a little bit, but we just kept fighting. It came out more fire.
All right, so now Al asked me this question. There's only one professional in the room. How does that happen?
They're human beings.
That's what I said.
I mean, they're human. They're not robots.
That's exactly what I said.
And the other team gets paid too, Al. I know you've heard me say that a few times.
Yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with the other team. Your effort.
You're right.
Or your energy.
Well, exactly. It does at the end of the game. Not in the beginning of the game where they said we came out with less effort. But I think at the end of the game, the Pacers ran up and down and ran them so hard that they were shot in the fourth quarter.
I mean, the first quarter was 43-35. And I thought towards the end of the first quarter, maybe Indiana pulled away a little bit. But yeah, if they were hanging with him. I thought Jalen Brunson got off to a great start, offensively, that is.
I agree.
You got to play both ends of the court, and unfortunately the Knicks have Karl-Anthony Towns, can he jump?
It doesn't look like it.
No, he doesn't jump when he shoots his threes. He barely jumps when he's under the basket. I mean, he's got probably the shortest vertical leap of any all-star in NBA history.
I'm like, you would think as big and as like thick as he is, he should be getting every single rebound. There should be anybody around him getting a rebound away from him.
Well, we saw him bang the knee a little bit during this game.
Twice.
Yes, he was asked afterwards how he's doing.
I'm only thinking about the loss. I'm not thinking about that right now. So, it's disappointing when you don't get a win. You know, and we just didn't do enough to get the job done tonight.
So now they're down 3-1. Game 5 will be at the Garden tomorrow night. In the loss, Brunson had 31. Towns had 24 points and 12 rebounds. And one guy who also did not have a great night was OG Anunoby, 7 of 16 shooting, 1 of 7 from three-point range. Tonight you got Game 5 for the Thunder and the T-Wolves at Oklahoma City as the Thunder look for the closeout there. The baseball story late last night, you had in Anaheim, Dave Sims acknowledging.
We welcome those of you who just sat through a 130-121 Indiana win over the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Bummer.
Okay, bummer. At this point, it was 1-0 Yankees, and then very quickly.
So here's Volpe, infield drawn in close, and fly ball, center field, dropping quickly. Base hit, Anthony Volpe. Oh. Scoring is Bellinger, and the Yankees have a 2-0 lead here in the sixth inning.
That was, again, Dave Sims on the fan. 3-2 would be the final. Now. They would get a home run from Oswald Peraza to make it 3-0. Devin Williams would struggle a bit in the ninth, but they do close it out. Here was Peraza on his home run.
I'm looking for a good pitch. You know, he threw me yesterday a lot of sinker inside. Snyder threw a lot of sinker inside. I'm looking for that pitch. And he You see the ball, hit the ball.
So simple. See the ball, hit the ball.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Carlos Rodon, though, again, really good.
I was getting to him, yes. Yeah, 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, only 5 hits, yeah. 7 scoreless innings. He is now 7-3 with an ERA of 2.60. As for Williams, gave up those 2 runs in the ninth, but did get out of the mess.
You know, you just keep going. The game's not over. We didn't lose yet, so it's pretty simple.
And he did close it out. They've won 4 in a row, and they have a 7-game lead atop the AL East. I heard McMonagle say first 7-game lead in May for them since 1998. That was a pretty good season.
Yes, it was.
So we shall see. Series finale tonight, Clark Schmidt taking on Yusei Kikuchi on the Fan at 9:35. Meantime, at Citi Field, the Mets had one hell of a first inning and beat the White Sox.
1-0 pitch to Young, hit in the air deep to right field. Back near the wall, this might go, and it's gone! On to the top of the Payson Cadillac Club in right field. Jared Young's first home run as a Met, his third major league home run. It's a 4-run first inning for the Mets.
Yeah, and they led 4-2 at this point. This was after Pete Alonso also homered, and the Mets wound up winning 6-4. Francisco Lindor added an RBI single in this game. Here was Alonso. Good night, top to bottom.
I think we just did a great job hitting the ball hard consistently and just controlling the zone and controlling the at-bats. And I thought our pitch selection was great all night.
Yep.
And plus, that team they're playing stinks.
They do. You are right. I will tell you, they put, I didn't see, I mean, oof. I saw Monday's game, but it was, you know, people were over, was kind of half watching it. Sitting down and watching this and seeing the starting lineup, when I'm like, who are these guys?
Right, exactly.
Aside from like Benintendi and Taylor, it's like, wow, never heard of any of them. Here was Tyler McGill, cruised a bit after a shaky start.
Yeah, for the most part, after the third or second inning, settled in nicely, attacking hitters.
And got the win. He's 4-4, 3.5 ERA. And then you also had this play in the first inning where even when Juan Soto gets a base hit, he doesn't get a base hit. Because
this
Brandon,
was unbelievable.
Yes, I'll let Howie Rose try to explain this.
And Kenning's 0-1 pitch. Swung on, hit high in the air, deep to right center. It'll stay in the park, diving for it. Taylor, and Michael A. Taylor trapped it. He did not field it cleanly. Now, one umpire is ruling a catch, I think, and the other ruled a trap, and there's total confusion on the bases. Nimmo went back to first, and then Soto, who kept running, I don't know if he crossed him and passed him on the base paths or what, but there was complete confusion on the part of the umpires. It looked as though Taylor had made the catch, but one umpire, I think, signaled trap, and another one signaled catch.
I got to tell you, that's handled pretty damn good with the way it was going.
But did one umpire signal catch? Because looking back at it, saw just the first base umpire had the safe sign, meaning that it was not a catch. I did not see someone go
out. I didn't either.
So
but just the fact that you had complete confusion.
Well, Howie's those
and Howie did a very good job.
As good as it gets, right?
All right, so who do you put the blame on here?
Nimmo.
Right, because he's out in front and, you know.
He's out in front. I mean, you do have a third base coach watching the ball. I mean, I know these guys make their own decisions, but, and then he runs right past Soto.
Yeah, no, like, hey, how you doing? What are you doing?
It was bizarre. But the Mets do win. They're 34-21. They moved tonight's game up to 110 this afternoon because, hey, guess what?
Ugh.
A lot of rain coming in.
Well, and we've asked them to do this before.
Great idea. I agree.
And they're actually doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll say you got a big washout coming, want to do a doubleheader, or they move the game up because the rain's coming later. So, but yeah, it's going to rain for a long time tonight and then tomorrow morning, I think.
Just remember that Major League Baseball is the one who controls all of this.
Oh, yeah. And then we've been asking baseball to do this.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
You asked baseball delivered.
Well, it only took 10 years, but yeah.
Griffin, Canning, Shane Smith, the starters.
No, it's still winter.
No, it's not numbnut. It's June.
Whoa.
On 880 Miss Odyssey Radio.
Wow.
No, it's still winter.
Numbnut.
I don't know what that was.
And numbnut.
Terry Bradshaw was on a radio station called 103.7 The Buzz. They were talking about Aaron Rodgers. Bradshaw recalling the first time he met him.
I had to go over and introduce myself to him. He's not. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am.
Yeah.
And not, you know, you walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing.
Wow, I had a totally, completely different experience.
With Aaron?
100%. 100%. I don't know, couldn't have been any nicer. And this goes back 15, 16 years.
Yeah, well, we had one of those icy ones and one of those great ones. So I've seen both sides of Aaron Rodgers.
That is true.
In person.
Clearly, he's not a fan of this whole Rodgers to Pittsburgh thing.
That's a joke. He shouldn't. That is just, to me, is a joke. What are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man. That guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go somewhere
you.
and chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
100%.
Whisper to the gods.
My goodness. What a show that is.
Thank you, 100%.
103.7 The Buzz, is that what
yes,
that is?
Yes, 103.7 The Buzz.
Is that like Louisiana or something?
I have no idea. That's it should be easy to find. I don't know how many stations are called The Buzz.
The Buzz.
The Buzz, yes.
The Buzz.
And then I don't know where this is from.
Arkansas,
there you go. I have no idea where this audio is from. Marco put it in for me, and it's fun. I don't know where Tyreek Hill was, why he was filmed with these kids that asked the question. Did you hear this yet?
No.
Well, he was asked what he thought about a potential star rookie coming into the NFL. Interesting answer.
Yo, Tyreek, what do you think about Travis Hunter?
They're going to be ass.
Wow. He going to be ass is what he said?
That's what he said.
Yo, Tyreek, what do you think about Travis Hunter?
He going to be ass.
Wow. Where does that come from?
I have no idea.
I thought this is a generational talent.
Well, I mean, he's probably sick of hearing about these young guys that are come in and be shut down corners. But he lost his step last year, so he's got to be careful. He going to be
interesting,
ass.
By the way, you know, Travis Hunter graduated in 3 years. He just got married to his longtime girlfriend, gave her a G-Wagon. I wonder if he called up Doug Wells and got one of those. And then everything seems to be going well for him in Jacksonville thus far. Like the nicest kid in the world.
Seems to be.
I mean, I guess he's a little bit flashy, but he's not like Shador flashy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yo, Tyreek, what do you think about Travis Hunter?
He gonna be ass.
By the way, James Cook did not report to OTAs for the Bills. He wants a new contract. And Kirk Cousins, who wants to be released by the Falcons, not participating either. NHL.
How about Joey Bosa got hurt?
Oh, I didn't see
already
that.
Already.
Wow.
Buffalo.
They just started.
He just started and he pulled a calf muscle.
Doing what? Walking?
Working out or something on the field.
Crazy, crazy.
That guy gets more injuries.
NHL playoffs last night.
Bouchard to Drysdale, top of the right circle. He waits, he dishes. Bouchard showing one-timer, instead feeds McDavid. Left circle, Nugent Hopkins drags in front. Tacked home, Corey Perry. Power play goal. The Oilers regain the lead. 2-1.
And that would be the deciding goal as they would win 4-1, adding a couple of empty netters. Oilers radio with the call there. 4-1 the final score. Edmonton takes a 3-1 series lead. Tonight you got game 5 for the Panthers and Hurricanes in Raleigh. Florida up 3-1, looking to close that out.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. At 7 o'clock, we have our answer that I asked our sales guy, Chris Mercandante, to get for us as he was at an event with Corona last night. It was a WFAN and Corona event with Larry Johnson. And if you know the show and the story here, the four-point play ball has been a topic of discussion for a while. The man who caught it in the stands gave it to us. We tried to get it to Larry Johnson to sign so it could be auctioned off for the Boomer Esiason Foundation, and it got lost somewhere along the way because of Wally Szczerbiak's carelessness. So we thought maybe somehow that ball had gotten to Larry Johnson. Well, that answer will be coming up in about 13 minutes from now. We've got a clear, definitive answer on this, and what he says is hilarious, actually. Yes. So it is. It's good. It's worth it. All right, let's go to Steve in Bensonhurst. What's going on, Steven?
How you doing, Boomer Geo? Good morning. I just want to say thank you to all the military, past and present. 2 points. When the Pacers blew that lead and they put Brunson on the bench, Towns went crazy. I think when Brunson comes on, because Towns played in Minnesota, he ain't the back age no more, he plays harder when Towns is Brunson's on the bench. And also, I think the Pacers want to win in the Garden just to stick it to all the celebrities. And one thing, Geo, Mets. It stands for my entire team sucks. Have a great day, guys.
Jesus. Wow, he had a lot to say.
My goodness.
I mean, he touched on a lot of things.
It's
not the day to kill the Mets, for God's sakes.
I mean, they're winning.
I mean, they're winning. What are they, 12 games over 500? They're still two games back in the loss of the Phillies, but it's freaking May still, so they're in a good spot.
Yeah, we got a long way to go.
Yeah, but as far as the other stuff, I do agree that there's, you see some, Carl Anthony Towns is more aggressive when Jalen Brunson's not on the court because I feel like he has to be. Maybe that's something that's conscious or unconscious with him, but I at least agree with that.
Well,
with
especially, you know, if there's nobody else out there that's going to shoot the ball and he's the primary scorer, of
then course. Yeah. Makes sense. Let's go to Richie in Brooklyn. What's going on, Richie?
Hey, guys. I think the Knicks are having an identity crisis in on defense. The switching on the pick and roll worked against the Pistons, but it's clearly not worked against the Pacers. And last night they had guys, some were fighting through, some were switching. It was a mess. I think Thibs needs to get his act together.
Yeah, I mean, and you heard the opposite of that when talking about what the Pacers were doing defensively from Reggie Miller. He said that they should film Aaron Nesmith getting through picks and show it to every other NBA player because he's putting on a clinic. And the Knicks are in no way that skilled at that. I mean, they're all over the place. There's fouls, there's confusion, the switching works half the time. It's just a tired defensive scheme and effort last night was putrid and not one that you would expect from a Tibbs team in a playoff game.
You know, it's as important for the guard or whoever the ball handler happens to be to set up the defender to get picked as it is for the guy who's setting the pick on the defender. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So if it's Jalen Brunson, he's got to get his guy into his whoever's making the pick, whether it be Mitchell Robinson or Carl Anthony Towns or Mikal Bridges or OG Anunoby, you got to get the guy closer to the defender because if the defender has to move for him, then that's where the foul comes, you know, on the offense. So it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of who's setting the pick and then who is setting up the pick and then how he is able to stay in between the pick player and the player with the ball is amazing.
Yeah,
and that's a gift, but that's also, you know, that's hard. That takes a lot of toughness. You got to believe that you can get through it. You got to believe that you're not going to get hurt. And, you know, there's very few players. The easy thing is to go underneath and to go around or switch. Hey, you got him.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And then when the Knicks do that and they have a game like they did last night, the switching is horrendous. And there's a 5 to 6 foot gap between the guy that's switching and the guy who has the ball.
Yeah, and that's why Nesmith was pointed out yesterday by Reggie Miller in the way that he was getting through those picks on Brunson and sticking with him and just finding a way with his athleticism. And by the way, with a bum ankle, allegedly. Let's go to Henry in Queens. What's going on, Henry?
Yes, how you doing?
Good, Henry. What's up today?
Hey, listen, I called you yesterday and I told you it starts with the coach. You got to start at the top. I've been playing ball for a long time. That coach needs to go. I know y'all good friends because you told me last year that y'all break bread together and you don't want to talk bad about Dolan.
No, and Tom I've never met Tom Thibodeau. I don't believe that Boomer has broken bread with
y'all
him.
Y'all said that y'all eat lunch. He's a good guy. Y'all eat lunch together.
No, that's not us.
No, I never ate anything with Tom Thibodeau.
When I get out of here, I don't eat lunch with anybody, man. I just get the hell out of here.
The same thing y'all said y'all break bread with him.
Well, no, I think that sourpuss face. You'd have that sourpuss face too if you were watching your guys give up on the pick and roll so easily.
Okay, they are tired. He got them out there like racehorses. He has a bench. I played ball for a long time. You need help. You got to rest. That's why they're tired.
Henry, had you played ball before?
Yes.
For a long time?
I grew up in Harlem.
All right.
Polo Ground, sure. Right across the street from the Rucker Park.
The Knicks did play 10 players last night.
No, he was on yesterday.
And by the way,
I played ball for a long time, six times. He did it four times today.
I know he did. what I was going to say is that, you know, Carl Anthony Towns takes himself out of the game because of foul trouble. And Jalen Brunson sat for a long time in the first half.
I mean, and the issue is not Tibbs not playing his bench players. The issue is that the roster doesn't have a good enough bench. Like, that's really the issue. it's not as if Tibbs is leaving like All-Stars or sixth men of the year on the bench.
Hart is coming off the bench
now. That's the one guy, but it's like play the bench more. Do we really need to see Landry Shamet and DeLon Wright? I mean, do we? Precious is fine. I know you love him. Do we really need to see these guys? I mean, that's the thing that's driving me crazy about this.
And Deuce didn't do much last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if
they were out of sorts last night. Like, how many times were they in the lane and they were trying to pass it out of the lane or couldn't go up with the basketball and score?
Yeah,
I mean, that was Towns, that was Hart, that was Ananobi, that was Deuce. I mean, there had to be at least six or seven possessions where they were right there at the basket and couldn't finish.
Yeah, I'm not changing my mind on Tibbs being fired now after last night, just because last night happened. So Henry,
let me ask you this question. Just, I'm going to throw it out there, and I don't want to throw it out there because they are a Final Four team. They are one step further than they were last year. And if the Pacers knock them off, the Pacers will be one step further than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
So both of these teams improved
to
where they were last year at this time for different reasons.
Yeah.
How do the Knicks deal with the Celtics next year, and how do they deal with the Pacers and the Cavaliers next year with this current group of players?
Well,
are they better?
I mean,
or are there changes coming?
No, there has to be changes, but not like massive changes, not like trading core guys, but there's going to be changes. I mean, hell, there was a ton of changes last year when they got to the second round.
They added two starters to their team.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to, yes, I do think they're going to have to get deeper and they got to get better defensively. And I don't think that Tibbs is going to be gone. I think he's going to be the coach. All right, coming up next, we're going to tell you what Larry Johnson said. We found him finally and asked him about the four-point ball and if he's got it and if he knows where it is. And his answer is very interesting.